I realize top 10 lists are usually entertaining, they're lighthearted, and this morning I know we could start with, what are the top 10 ways you could annoy your roomie? I mean, the other way, what 500 million ways your roomie could annoy you? Which, of course, we need hours and hours to fully develop that. So for our purposes today, you probably need to see Mr. Lance Duncan and have the counseling of dealing with your roomie as the Lord tarries, but I make jokes about roomies all the time. I will admit, my roomie that I had 30 years ago just had his birthday. And I said, happy birthday, roomie, still 30 years later. Still walking with the Lord, which is encouraging. But this morning, let's warm up our brains. Let's try this. What are the seven continents of the world? This isn't geography class. We'll start from the west to the east. And they are North America, South America. Get caught up here. Sorry, let me get there. Wait. You missed Europe. Okay, now you can go Africa. Good. Asia. If you want to say Oceania, that's okay. And then Antarctica. Remember to get that second C in there. The seven continents of the world. Very good. How many people are there in the world as of today, this moment, worldpopulationclock.com? 7.4 billion if you look at your world population clock. And it is very interesting seeing births, deaths. I can't do that same time, births, deaths. So there's just this net that you can see the gain. So part of the reason I want to share this visual, 2011, we had our missions conference for the sake of the gospel. Now, staff and faculty, remember this. If you're one of our students on the 8-year plan or 9-year plan, you may have been here in 2011. But I'll just quickly do this for the sake of time. But in the left-hand corner, upper left-hand corner, let me do this screen, get the right button. Here we go. You can't quite see it. Let me start over. Sorry. In my haste, and that's me. How about the bottom left-hand corner? Let's go here. This little blue turquoise, whatever you want to call it. This cup of rice represents 27 million souls. You need the legend to the map, okay? 27 million souls. So Decorations Committee, kudos to them. 4 years later, still talking about you, okay? Decorations Committee. The bar is raised. 2015 Missions Conference is soon to be here. But the 27 million souls, so the Decorations Committee said, let's take the population of Africa that's just happens to be the black rice, top left-hand corner. And then as you look at, again, you may say, that doesn't quite look like the Australia color, but that's okay. You just have to deal with it. It's just this little corner right here. And then as we had what was sort of for China, and I want to use the word Central Asia. Thank you. Central Asia would actually be the part that's like with sort of the pinkish here, almost red. The yellow would be what we would call South China. Again, just to give you a visual, how many people, South Asia and China, how many people would be there? And then as we get to the Middle East, there's a little bit of green here. This is the second shelf. Here is the rice that would represent the folks in the Middle East. South America, I'll just call it tan, is here. Here's North America, the purple. And then white for Europe. You can hardly see it showing up on this map. But I do that to capture your attention for this. I love this visual. Thank you, 2011, still talking about you. I love this pile right here. You know what this represents? Every kindred, every tribe, every nation, here's all peoples, here's all rice, mixed together representing how many Christians are in the world. I love that. So with that, trying to whet your appetite, let me ask you, where are the top 10 countries, I have a purpose for that. What are the top 10 countries for where the persecuted church is located today? Can you name the top 10? We'll start with 10. I'm hearing China, and I heard something else. North Korea. You guys just want to jump to the 10th one, don't you? Let's go with Nigeria, that is West Africa. And for those of you that want to correct me when I'm done and say, you didn't quite capture whatever country, get over it. I'm just trying to work through it here to give an idea. So Nigeria, we have Eritrea, East Africa, that's near the Horn. It's actually a small country, but right there, if I can do that well enough. Pakistan, how's that, Ms. Parvin? Is that close? Pakistan? Ms. Parvin had the privilege to grow up in Pakistan as a child. Her dad was my missions professor before Mr. Peterson joined us. Eighth, and we know that's in the Arabian Peninsula. It is number eight in the world. Iran, again, Middle East, we would recognize. We get to Sudan. Sudan is where? Should be able to do this. East Africa, again, near, get my finger here. It's near the horn that's there on the east side. Afghanistan, again, we know Middle East. Syria, Middle East. Iraq, Middle East. Again, the Arabian Peninsula, we'd recognize. Somalia, bonus. Where's Somalia? Not west? Good job. It is east. Again, there's just a trend. There are several countries right there. Eritrea is a small country compared to Somalia and Sudan, all of those there in the eastern part. And then the number one answer, well done, it is North Korea. So source is opendoors.org if you want to check that out later. I know, fact check, you do it just like everybody else does. But let me ask, what do these 10 countries have in common? Yes, it's the persecuted church. Go ahead, Ted. I hear you. I hear you, Ed. The reality is they are coming to our back door. They are here in our community. They work at Wendy's. They work here. All of these. There's something else I'm looking for. It's a good guess. Thank you for having the bravery to speak up. What is the latitude that all of these have in common? I'll give you a hint. Latitude's like a ladder. You got the rung. This is what we call the 1040 window. Every one of these countries, including have to get the right one, including North Korea, here is actually 40 latitude. Any other observations before I move on? One more comment I want to capture. What else do nine of these countries have in common and one does not? Islam is the nation's religion. And North Korea, of course, is communism. But here today, and I don't want to be too sobering with this, but it's a reality, we will have brothers and sisters that will shed blood today. And you may say, oh, I got this quiz, I got this exam. Some are running for their lives. When Dr. Anderson introduced the theme this year in our administrative committee of servants to the church, I will admit my mind immediately went to this thought, and you'll hear throughout the message, the Holy Spirit did not let me escape. Persecuted servants to the church is what he immediately drew my attention to. So I'd ask you to turn with me to the book of Acts. We're going to end up in chapter 5, but if I may, my years at Word of Life were very impacting. Dr. Ron Blue did something that I am indebted for. I'll do this quickly. Acts chapter 1, son, the son ascends. 2, do, the Holy Spirit comes down. 3, need, the lame man is healed. 4, door, apostles are jailed. 5, dive, just like the word. Ananias and Sapphira die, they dive in the grave. 6, sticks, the deacons are chosen. 7, heaven, Stephen is stoned. 8, gate, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. 9, shine, Saul on the road to Damascus. 10, hen, Peter has his vision of the unclean animals. And I stop. I know they're 28. But for my purposes this morning, I do that for this purpose. I want to share with you, and I'm going to tell you up front, I have 15 words. Now, some of you are already thinking, 15, I can't handle that far. Okay? You'll get over the freshman year. I assure you, you will make it. I really should be concerned for the senior, shouldn't I? I have 15 words for you. If you want to listen, it's okay. I have them up on the PowerPoint. I want to show you. I want to walk through chapters 4 and 5 quickly, with one word that I'm going to capture a section. And since Scripture is much more important than my just trying to share an opinion or say this thought or that thought, I want to walk through these 15 words. It's not really my sermon, we're going to get there, but I want to do this for the background. Get the right direction here. The first one in 4:3, put them in hold. I want to capture in chapters 4 and 5, it starts with the disciples specifically. The apostles are imprisoned. And then there's this inquiry in verse 7. They asked, and this is the religious leaders, we use the term loosely, but the Pharisees, we understand, the religious leaders asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And it's to heal the lame man in chapter 3 as they're asking. So imprisoned, inquiry, hey, 2 down, 13 to go, right? I'm just going to work our way through this quickly. They implemented by verses 10 and 11, they answered very, very clearly, they didn't stutter, by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Powerful imagery as the Holy Spirit allowed them to heal. We know it was Peter and James, Peter and John as they went to temple in chapter 3. But they implemented, they're saying it's by Jesus' power this has happened, it's not us. Notice in verse 13, they were intrigued. Yeah, I'm doing the thing, you see it there. But they marveled, they were intrigued, going, wow, that's fascinating, huh? But by the time they get to what we have is verse 17, they were trying to use some intimidation. Let us straightly threaten them. We're going to see in a moment what they actually did do. But at that moment, that was their, and I know you all got that, intriguement and intimidation. I know you're right with me. See, you can do this. Fifth word, insistence, verse 20. They answered back, you know, here they were straightly charged, don't speak in this name. For we cannot but speak, the emphasis, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Sounds like John in 1 John, a lot of passages. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, the insistence. Then we have, it's irrefutable, in verse 21, for all men glorify God for that which was done. And why were miracles done? To show God is using his servants, his speakers, to deliver his message. It was irrefutable. And then let's see how they were infused. When they go back and they pray and they share, they didn't say, Lord, help us not to get beat again. But notice, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants, that's why I chose the word infused, Lord, empower us that with all boldness that we may speak thy word. Lord, give us courage. It wasn't get us out of here. It was give us courage to speak. Infuse us with the Holy Spirit. You're doing great. Impacted, verse 31. They spoke of the word of God with boldness. They delivered the word. They evangelized. They spoke. They intertwined. They had all things common. This is not socialism. This is not a utopian society that some, and I know you don't know this, there are a few of us here from the 60s that would say, that's what they talked about in the 60s, and we know where that ended up. But they shared. They're like, I have extra here. I'll help you. You have a need. We'll share together. And this is where Barnabas, in our next word, investment, he brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He didn't take it to the bank and say, hey, banker, what can you give me for this? It was he invested, he sold the land, he shared with others, and I'm saying that's an investment. Now, when you see the word, my next word, start at chapter 5, dive, inversion. Here's what I mean by this. Yeah, I know, inversion can be they went upside down, but how I intend for it to be is here's the opposite. The investment of Barnabas giving money, he sold the land, he gave the money. Here are two people that came in and said, yeah, we're giving this all to the Lord. And even though we may not know specifically how they lied to the Holy Spirit, Peter called him out on it. And right there, talking about a visual, I like visuals, but I would not want this to happen in Hilltop Baptist Church or any church. I'd hate for somebody to come down and the pastor says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. Boom. That would be powerful. But here's Ananias dying. And we know the story. I could joke, but let's keep going. He passes away 3 hours later. So here comes Sapphira, his wife. She says, yeah, same amount. Boom, she goes down. So obviously, what kind of response is a church going to have for this? Are they going to run? It might be appropriate. It's impacting. Great fear came upon all the church. Wow. Again, a visual you're not going to forget for all of your life, seeing that. And then we see increasing. The Lord uses this to bring honor to himself, verses 12 through 16. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, not handfuls, not dozens, multitudes both of men and women. So the church is growing. It's increasing. And we're almost done with our 15 words to get where we're going today. Indignation. They were filled with indignation. They're angry. But now notice the conviction by the time we get to verse 33. They were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. They are hot. They're angry. Mad would be a word we may use today. But notice the insightfulness of Gamaliel as he stood up. And he gives two examples saying, look, these guys were fly by night. He didn't use those words, but that concept. They spoke, they died, the movement crashed with them. So, very insightful. He says, if this council is the work of men, it'll come to naught, be nothing, zero, nada. For those of you that would know Jethro Bodine from Beverly Hillbillies, nothing. But, contrast, if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Very insightful. Thank you for allowing me to warm you up. Now, here's where we're going to be in verses 40, 41, 42 today. See, you're already there. Acts 5, verse 40. Notice with me the verses that Dr. Anderson read for our... Actually, I want to include verse 40. To him they agreed. Camille, we agree to your advice. It's insightful. We'll listen to you. But here's where we're going to put our focus in. Called, our first word that we're going to look at, our first thought to develop. Notice. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed, the apostles, from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So in my remaining minutes, I'd like to develop just a few thoughts here. The first one is called. Now, really, the idea of this word is summoned. Hey, you guys, we want you to come in. It's not spiritual. Even though these are the, we use the quotation marks, religious leaders, they called them, they said, hey, we need to talk to you guys. Again, we've already talked to you, we're calling you back again. It's one thing to go into principal's office the first time, but, you know, here they're coming back the second time. But I will admit, this is the same word that we find in Acts 13, verse 2, when it says that the Holy Spirit called, he set aside Barnabas and Saul, and even the church recognized they were going to be sent out for a special purpose. So even though right now in this context when they called them, I'm not really saying it's for a spiritual purpose, but I do want to make the application. Yes, it is to be summoned. In this case, we're going to see in just a moment, you know, they want to discipline them from their perspective. But are you here as a student 1 year, 2 years, 4 years? I really had a classmate that did the 9-year plan, okay? He crammed 9 years into four. No, other way. He crammed 4 years into nine. He literally did, but he finished. As long as you're here, are you called by your parents or a relative? Or are you really called of the Lord? Now, there's obviously, we want you here. We're glad you're preparing for ministry, as most of you, Lord willing, will be there. But we don't want your mama called. We want you Holy Spirit called. Now, that may not be good grammar, but it communicates what I'm trying to say. And I trust as we listen to Holy Spirit, we will sense his call and respond appropriately. They were chastised. Our next thought to develop here. Back in verse 40, and beaten them. I'll admit, in preparation for today, I thought of, you know, as you discipline a child, and I realize for all of us, I'm not trying to be funny, all of us were a child at some point. Some of you are still transitioning out of that. Now, some of you, as we sit here, and I am trying to be serious, some of you may have not had as much parental involvement in your life. But I'll admit to you, and this is why I share this, at what point, as a father, do you no longer physically discipline your child? Our daughter's 11, soon to be 12. If you hear me, she isn't here today, so I can get by with this. And moments I'll say she's 16. Next minute, she's regressing to 6. It's part of what growing up, and I'm learning a lot. She's teaching me. But we don't discipline Hannah like we did when she was 2 years old. A child, Book of Proverbs, we don't have the time this morning, but you know some of these passages. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child. We know the various passages. You're doing it to discipline them. But here's the thought that I have for you. When an adult is disciplined, beaten, and I have not experienced that. And you may say, well, I got Revelation with Dr. Carfrey. Even though we now call it New Testament Epistles 3, right, Dr. Carfrey? Okay, good. Thank you. I knew you were here, so I could get by with that. But reality, to be physically beaten as an adult would be humiliating. It would be being scorned. It would be being ridiculed. No adult expects to be beaten. You just don't. But we're going to see by the response that these apostles have how they honored the Lord with that. So they were called, they were chastised, they were beaten. And let's see how they would respond to that. They were also charged, if you'll see the next phrase here. They commanded, this is the leaders, again I use the term loosely, they commanded that they, the apostles, should not speak in the name of Jesus. Now, normally, orders are followed. Our pastor, Pastor Bob Ingram, has been at Fort Benning, Georgia, working with soldiers, and I know he can do all those sounds and things. And you give a soldier an order, right, Dean Henshu, Mr. Marine, and they respond immediately, correct? So when they say, get down and give me 50 push-ups, and I'm not demonstrating that this morning, thank you very much, they immediately, without hesitation, they are preparing that soldier, airman, Air Force Marines, you know, the dot, dot, dot. They are preparing that person to be able to respond immediately to an order. Do it. Usually we follow orders. They commanded, they charged. But notice what command they gave them. They ordered them to not speak in the name of Jesus. Not speak. Earlier in this chapter, we didn't take time to pause there, but I'll point out now, verse 29. The first time when this happened, Peter and the other apostles answered when they were told, did we not straightly command you not to speak in his name? And there's the phrase, we ought to obey God rather than men. There's our true marching orders, folks. In our country, and it has changed more in the last 5 years than I ever dreamed it would. Our country is changing. The time may come sooner than what we think that we have to disobey corporate federal orders. We can go to Romans 11 passage. We can look at various things. We ought to, you know, obey what orders, what laws are there, and we should abide. We should be law-abiding citizens. But ultimately, ordering us not to speak in the name of Jesus should cause us to say, I will still speak in that precious name. I will not shut down. I will not stop. And I know we've all heard that. I will not shut up, and we'll just look at that another time. Cast loose. Notice they let them go. They released. They no longer held. They allowed them to go on their own free will. But this is interesting. When you really look at they departed, it has this specific thought that they continue one's journey. Now I'll admit, again, in preparation for this, the Lord speaks to my heart and works me over, and I hope you get a little bit, but he's worked me over with this one. Would we run like Jonah going, I am out of here. Give me a ticket. I'm going to Joppa. I'm going to Tarshish. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not going to the heathen, Lord. I'm getting out of here the opposite direction. Okay, I'll put it in 2015. I want a one-way ticket to Barbados. I got to escape all the stress and trauma of being a college student. You won't get sympathy from us. You won't. But they purposefully continued their journey. Even as they were let go, they were cast loose, they still had a purpose to follow. And we're going to see in just a moment. Our next thought, they were counted worthy. They rejoiced. Rejoicing, a continual tense. They chose to be joyful. They were glad. Even like Philippians 4:4 captures, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's also interesting, this next word, treated with dishonor. When they were counted worthy, they were treated with dishonor. And this just really jumped out to me in preparation. In insult by word or deed or thought. Boy, I got convicted there. You know, it's one thing, we can act more civilized, but on the inside we may be thinking. It's easy to trespass the standard of a thought. Very easy. But they were still treated with this dishonor, this insulting. But they said, we are counted worthy to suffer shame. There we go. To suffer shame for his name. Think for just a moment. Childhood playground. Somebody hits you. I know it's human nature. I'm just as human as you. It's easy to strike back. Hey, they hit me first. Do unto others as you would have do unto me. They clearly want me to hit them back. They hit me, so they want to hit back. You're misapplying the verse there. It's easy to strike back when hit. It's difficult to restrain. It is tough to stand there, whether your fists are balled up behind you. It is tough to stand there and take it. But I'm telling you, it is nearly impossible to rejoice over that beating. But this is what they did. Again, human nature, it's like, dude, you want to take me right here, right now. That's the flesh. To restrain would be, all right, Lord, give me strength to stand here. But I'm not happy about it. I will take the blows, but I'll do it for you. But to rejoice, they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That is the grace of God. It's inconceivable humanly to rejoice, but they did. They were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And what did they do? They communicated. They ceased not. They were incessant. They did not stop. Let me ask you, and this is convicting to me, I'm telling you. What gets you excited? What gets you out of the bed and go, I can't wait to do this today? This is the idea here. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Do we get that excited? And again, put the dot, dot, dot. Put the blank in your life. What gets you motivated? Does it take 6 pots of coffee? And looking at some of you, you needed the 7th one. What is it that you can't stop talking about? They cease not. They were incessant. And then they emphasize, it's the best word I can come up with. I tried something else. They emphasize Jesus. As Tim Dillon in our church family says, you make Jesus look good. Worship, to make Jesus look good. They emphasize him to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. I'm confident as we sit here today that most, if not all of you, are familiar with these 5 men. January 1956, before the majority of our time, a few exceptions today, even I wasn't born at that point. But as you have heard of this story, these 5 men, Roger Uterin, Pete Fleming, Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, Ed McCauley. Probably you've heard more about Jim Elliot's, he is no fool who can give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Nate Saint, we may have heard some stories. Quick sidebar, Jack Wirtz and I had the privilege to be at Word of Life when Jack was alive. He told about Olive and Pete Fleming over and over and over. Part of it, Jack was getting older and he repeated stories, so I've heard it ad nauseum. But even Jack Wirtz and Harry Ballback, for some of you that you've read about, I had the privilege to be around them. Jack talked about Pete and Olive Fleming. Before she went on a date with him, he had to memorize chapters of verses. How's that for a standard, ladies? Chapters of verses before she'd even go on a date with him. But these 5 men, when they gave their lives, they invested their lives. January 1956, there were scores, there were hundreds that stepped forward and said, I will take their place. Count me in, Lord, I'm going. In fact, I didn't have a chance to ask Dr. Anderson this, if this is a reference of something, but I'd found there was an Eternity magazine that existed years ago, now no longer in circulation. They counted 600 missionaries that were motivated to go to the field to replace these 5 men. Why do I share this story with you? These 5 men started a movement in missions that the people that went to the mission field, because these 5 men gave their lives, and their widows, their spouses went back and moved among, I was always taught it as the Aki Indians. It's based on their geography rather than, I know it has the Wadawan there, tribe. But the Aki Indians came to the Lord in groves because these 5 men invested their blood. The church grew. Missionaries went. The reality of that generation of missionaries that have replaced these 5 men are now with the Lord, or they're retiring. What will the Lord use now to take the next wave of missionaries there? 3 of these men, and I do want to do this. I'm about done. Their ages: Roger, 31, Pete, 27, Jim, 28, Nate, 32, Ed, 28. And for some of you, that's not that far away. Could you make that sacrifice? But here's what the Holy Spirit haunted me with, and this is why I share this passage. These apostles that were called, they were chastised, they were charged, they were cast loose, they were counted worthy, but they were eager to communicate. What if these men were the heritage of Appalachian Bible College? What if this was you? And I'm not trying to be emotional this morning, but persecution is coming to our shores. And if you think it's on the other side of the world, and I love you, Ted, I'm not. It does seem they're on the other side of the world, but they are right here. They are in our communities. People's blood will be shed today. What if this was you up there? And as the Lord tarries, I know it's a sobering message. What would we do if persecution comes? Would we sink back in the shadows and go, hey, not me. I'm not doing that. No way. Or we'd stand up and say, I am counted worthy to suffer shame for that name, and I will do that. So, for our So What Bridge, I have two thoughts. I challenge you to pray, to remember the persecuted church. The Bostic ministry that was started and is now in a number of countries, Mrs. Linda Hemmons was sharing with our church Sunday. And I'll admit, as I saw those pictures, it pulled my heart. These are children of martyrs that don't know the Lord. They don't know why their mom and dad are gone. And the haunting stories, when Mrs. Hammonds presents about Burma, you've got to be there. You must be there. But to hear even one child so traumatized when she asks, what do you remember? And he's like, so much blood, she stops. We have no concept. Rememberthose.org, our brothers and sisters today that will enter the Lord's presence. Another ministry, 1millionpraying.org. Every Tuesday afternoon, you'll get an email. Dr. Mark Johnson from Independent Bible Church challenged us probably 6 years ago. I'm haunted. I can't help but pray for these people daily. Believers, unbelievers, leaders, pray, 1millionpraying.org. And then just ask, if the Lord called you today, and again, I'm not trying to be emotional. I'm not. But it's coming. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Would we do that? What would you do?